It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of podcasts. It's been epic so far this week. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. How about Fezzik and I going over our first glance at the season win totals? Always a very, very fun day to get the first look at the DraftKings Sportsbook season win totals. Kudos to them for putting those out early. They put them out like March 28th, I think. Took Steve and I a little bit to get to them because we had other things going on, but it was awesome. Check me out, please, on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Looking to get to 10K. How about Facebook.com/Ross Tucker NFL? I just like round numbers. I got the 10,000 on Instagram. Let's get to 10,000 on Facebook. For any of you that are on Facebook, just like Facebook.com/Ross Tucker NFL. You can always catch all the show's highlight clips over at YouTube.com/Ross Tucker NFL or on Twitter or Instagram at Ross Tucker Pod. The star of this show is Joe Dolan. Has been for a long time. He is one of the owners over at FantasyPoints.com, where it's been cool, Joe. Been getting more and more emails from dudes saying that they use the code 22Feast. You guys even have like early bird discounts right now. So they're getting the 22Feast discount and the early bird discount. They're like stacking discounts right now, Joe.
Oh yeah, Ross, it's big time out there. It's what people are doing. And we launched a golf product, by the way. So if you're into fantasy golf, Ross, you might have to set up an entire another podcast. I'm a fish in fantasy golf. I don't consider myself an expert there, but we launched a golf product. So hey, you can use the code for whatever you want too.
Awesome, love it. Loved, by the way, your guy Jake Tribby last week talking about what it means for skill guys when they switch teams. Thought that was absolutely fantastic content, because that's the stuff that really separates us when we're drafting compared to other people. You know, being able to know, okay, don't overdraft guys that switch teams. They typically don't fare all that well. That was awesome. I also think Wes Huber is awesome. Love Wes Huber. This will be, I think, his third time coming on the show to talk about a different position, maybe fourth. At Wes Huber NFL on Twitter is how you get Wes. Wes, welcome back to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And, you know, it's always an honor.
All right, so we're talking receivers a little bit here today, rookie receivers. And I guess I'm curious, Wes, I like to go to you for the numbers. So what do we know numbers-wise about receivers that really matters, whether it's college production or combine numbers or whatever?
Yeah, well, so I'll let the college production speak for itself. But I do think it's very important that we see the production. If we see the testing, it's very important that we actually see production. We don't want a guy coming out of, like, for instance, Cyrus Gray or the Tampa Bay receiver that busted out this year.
Cyril Grayson.
So yeah, I mean, he's an all world sprinter and stuff, but it took him, you know, 20 years to turn into that. So not saying he doesn't have value now that he's broken out, but as far as, like, you know, going into a draft with rookies, you're not gonna really go after him, because he had the testing, you know, early on, but he had to learn how to play football. He didn't play football until the end of his career at LSU. So that's important. But as far as the testing goes, really a lot of the measurements are useful. So I'm not gonna go in depth here because it would take way too long. But let's just start with height. So if we break down the height into a measurement where wide receivers that are greater than 6'2 3/4. And then wide receivers that are 6'2", 6'2", and 5'8", and then wide receivers that are 5'11" and 5'8". Those are three very good thresholds that we want to look at here at wide receivers. Now, that's not going to tell us that much in total, but there's about a 10% decrease in fantasy points per game in receiving when you get above 6'2¾". And then it's only at 5% between 6 foot and 6'2 5/8". And then below that is where we're seeing the highest scoring overall. But then we want to break that down even further. We want to break it into weight, and we look at the thresholds there. So for each of those heights, break it down into a weight of greater than 222 pounds, less than 200 or between 208 and 221 pounds, and then less than 207 pounds. Now, when we do that, we start to see some really interesting numbers. So for the wide receivers that are above the 6'2¾" threshold and 222 pounds, we see a 77% decrease in receiving fantasy points per game. And this is over combined history, looking back at all the numbers that we have. So you look at that height, 6'2¾", between 208 and 221 pounds, we see a 42% decrease. And then obviously you get below that. What we really want to find, though, it was less than 207, not 200. We want to find guys that would the optimal range there is 208 to 221 pounds, and that's where we see the increase. 35% decrease below that. Then you break
hold
it down.
A second. So Wes, I just want to make sure I understand. So above 220 something, you start to see a drop off. Below 207, you start to see a drop off. There's like a sweet spot there.
Exactly, and it's like that. So you and then we can carry that further. And find that the absolute sweet spots as we're going through. So I could go through and say the same thing for each height, each weight, and then break it down further into the 40 times, and then we take it further. 10-yard split. That's another factor, a serious factor, like the get off from the line of scrimmage, that we less than 1.68 seconds is the general threshold there, because it'll get really complicated the more I get into this, but the numbers, they don't lie, and it's really significant. And then another one that I think holds value over all the others is a vertical jump. We want to see a vertical jump above 35.5 inches. So just let me give you some examples of the players that we pull out of this from doing that. So we look at the weight, the height. So above 6'2¾", if we look at between 208 and 221 pounds, like you said, the sweet spot, we want a 40 time less than 4.56. We want a 10-yard split less than 1.68, a vertical above 35.5. Who do we have here? We have Christian Watson. I believe we're going to have Drake London in that group. We don't have his testing yet, but from his tape, that the games that I watched, I think this guy's going to fall into that category. And then another guy is Isaiah Weston. He's a FCS product along with Christian Watson. But so those are some of the guys there. So and they're in the positive side here. They're guys that the measurements really support. And then if we look at the downside, so same height, less than 207 pounds, and a guy who doesn't fit any of those categories, but that had some great production at Clemson, we have Justin Ross. You know, he had that back surgery, so there's a chance that may influence, it may have influenced his testing. So that's something to always keep in mind. These aren't like absolute rules, but they're good tools to evaluate players. So let's move down.
And by the way, let me just jump in real quick, Wes. I think it's important to note, teams do this. Teams have preferred parameters for guys at every position, you know, arm length, because they'll look at it and they'll say, it's like Greg Cosell was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast last week, and I think there's like one guy in the NFL that's a starting corner with less than 30-inch long arms, which is what Roger McCreary from Auburn has. There are teams that just say, listen, this guy might end up being a great player, but he falls outside of the parameters of guys that have shown that they're good players in the NFL. We're not going to take him, or we're just not going to take him this high. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like what we're doing, Wes, right now is when you're looking at ADP for these guys, if there are guys that fall within these parameters and you want to take them at their ADP, do it. If there are guys that fall outside of the parameters, then maybe it gives you a little bit of pause at their current ADP.
That's a great way to look at it because, yeah, the more they slip, the more they fall, the less risk, you know, the less capital that you're investing. So, you know, there you can take a shot at the guy there. But, I mean, it's like you don't want to draft a guy that's in the red at his ADP. But then you see the guys that are in the green, you're like, wow, he's worth every bit of that ADP. And that's exactly right. So let me just throw in a couple other examples at you here. So one guy that's really polarizing much of the NFL draft population here, Treylon Burks. So at the 6 foot, between 6 foot and 6 foot two and 5'8", and greater than 222 pounds, we have Treylon Burks, and he falls below the 40 time. He's below the 10-yard split, which is good. He was above the 40 time, and he's below on the vertical. So he's a guy that we don't want to pay ADP for. But you know, there's a narrative being passed around now. He's dropping. There's a lot of talk about possible second round pick here. So if that continues, then obviously his upside goes way up for us. We move further down. I got a couple of sleepers here. So between 208 and 221 pounds, we have Kevin Austin Jr. out of Notre Dame, Ty Freifogel out of Indiana. If you remember Freifogel, I mean, he just erupted during the 2020 season. What he did against Ohio State was just nasty. And so his 40 time, I was blown away, ran a 4.52. So he falls under the threshold. And that's what I was worried about, because his high school testing at the Nike opening was actually pretty good as far as his lateral quickness and his vertical. And we saw that again, a good vertical, and then a good 10-yard split here. He's in the green. Two guys that aren't in the green in that category: David Bell, Dontario Drummond. Now, I will say this about David Bell. I get this weird feeling that he's going to be one that bucks the trend, because I met him at the combine, very intelligent. I shook his hand as he was passing me by. I patted him on the back. This dude is ripped. I mean, huge. I'm telling you, this guy is about broke my hand when I shook it, and I shake everybody give everybody a strong handshake, and he about broke my hand. I mean, this guy, he's not playing around. Like,
by the way, serious. Joe, how about your boy Wes looked up Ty Freifogel's testing numbers in high school?
Just one guy?
Wes is an absolute sicko.
He does it for everybody, and it's incredible. All his dynasty draft profiles are up at our site, and they all have high school profiles. It's unbelievable. Wes,
you love this.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, this is. I jump out of bed in the morning, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the meme, Ross. I've actually talked about this, Wes. You might have seen it. The guy, like, leaning into the window, and his shirt says sickos, and he's going, ha ha, yes. Wes is the guy in the sickos t-shirt when he sees high school testing numbers. Ha ha, yes.
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that we can look at high school testing numbers and say, okay, that we know he's going to be good. But again, it's another tool, and we can look at how how much time he's been putting in the gym, how much time he's been working out, because he's developed from that to what we have at the combine, what we have at his pro day, I'm really excited about pro days because of last year where we didn't have a combine. I feel like teams are putting a lot more into the pro days after last year. I think that it's gained a lot of credibility after, you know, the drafting from last year, which I thought was spot on. No difference between the years prior when we had combines. Now, I'm not taking away anything away from the combine. Combine's great, but only so many players can go. But with the pro days, I mean, we get to look at everybody in the country. Yeah. You know, a guy like Bryant Kobach out of Toledo. Go ahead, write it down now. Bryant Kobach, Toledo, running back. This guy's going to blow up. You watch.
Mm-hmm. I've done a bunch of Bryant Kobach games, actually. I'm a Maction guy, so I know all about Bryant Kobach. I also know all about, by the way, the greatest Mother's Day gift of all time. It's myfrontpagestory.com. Joe got it for his mom. Wes, you need to get it for your mom. It is incredible. One of our writers writes a story about your mom. Maybe you want to get it for your wife, whoever. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's framed. It's beautiful. And when they actually start to read your quotes or the quotes from your kids or whatever, you know, we just never tell her how much we appreciate all little things she does. She will absolutely cry. Myfrontpagestory.com. That is the key for Mother's Day. I got to ask you about a specific guy, Wes, before I forget. I'm sure Joe's curious as well. I think he's going to fall outside of all the parameters. Yet I've watched him play enough to feel pretty good about him. And that's Jahan Dotson from Penn State, Wes.
Yeah, that's another guy. I don't think he falls completely outside of the parameters there.
Well, he's under on height and he's under on weight. That's for sure, right?
That's the thing is below 5'11" and 7/8" is where you're going to see your highest scoring in general. Which is crazy when you, I mean, I, sometimes I look at the numbers and I just can't believe what I'm seeing, but you know, these are things that we have to believe in, that we have to trust, because that's what they're telling us. And, I mean, if you look at the running backs, over the last 10 years, 27% of combined running backs, have never played, an offensive snap in the NFL. Over the last 10 years, there's a lot of guys that don't make it. So that brings the numbers way down across the board. But then the guys who do produce, they pick it back up, and that's what we're seeing here. But a guy like Jahan Dotson he was nasty. He produced no matter the opponent. Wisconsin this past year, they had a really good secondary, and he was just awesome. I love him. As far as his actual statistics go, I mean, I've got everything you want to see. I mean, he does have some work to do against man coverage. He scored 24% of his touchdowns on 22% of his routes against cover one. But the 32nd most fantasy points per route, the 40th most yards per route run from just this class. He's more of a cover two specialist, the 7th most fantasy points per route. That's a 35% spike to his overall average. He had a near perfect 157.8 targeted passer rating against cover two. He was around baseline against
Wes,
cover three.
Where do you get all this information?
Oh, I collect everything on my own.
How do you know the coverage? Oh, I can read coverages of Jahan Dotson.
Well, I'm looking at the games. So I go through and I watch all the games for each of the players.
Oh my gosh, Wes.
Yeah. He's nuts.
Do you sleep?
I work probably from around 5 in the morning until 8 at night.
So, Wes, you go through, and for these prospects, you watch every snap to see what the coverage was?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I will be honest, though. I do it for the NFL, and I'm very meticulous. But we also – let me throw this out there. For the NFL, we have a partnership with Sports Info Solutions, so I get a lot of my data from there. And then – I go back through on Mondays and I rewatch each game and I check the coverage, because the language that I was taught when I was at PFF is different than what they use for collecting their data. So I go back through and I change a few things. But with the college, I don't have that luxury. They don't provide us with the college data. So I have to go through each game. And so there's a few issues with that. Sometimes I can't find the games. And if I can't get a hold of the footage, obviously I don't have that game to include in the data. And then two, I am a little bit quicker when I'm reading the coverages because I'm not going to spend all day looking at that, you know, because there's some that you just cannot categorize without, what I would do at PFF in that situation is I would go and I would talk to the experts. You know, we had Zach Robinson there for a while. He's one of the quarterback coaches for the Rams right now under Sean McVay. And then, and then Bobby Slowick, he was another of my, mentors and he's a, defensive, quality control coach for the 49ers right now. And so these are the guys that taught me what I know. And then there's another guy there, one of their senior analysts, John Costco. He taught me a lot. So between the three of them is where I got all my, he played at Kansas, you know, he never played in the NFL, but I mean, a really sharp guy, knows all his stuff. And,
all right. So here's my question. So Joe, what are our big takeaways from this? Like what are the listeners or the viewers learning?
So what they need to know is like there are these parameters that just predict more success, okay? And Wes is going to lay that out once we get all those numbers. And that doesn't mean there aren't outliers, but I think you have to acknowledge what might be an outlier. Now, the only thing I have to ask Wes here is it possible some of the parameters are changing? Because if you're looking at the all three wide receivers who went in the top 10 last year, mm-hmm. we're looking at Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, all of whom had successful rookie seasons. I don't think any of them fit the height weight parameters that you're laying out here. We're seeing guys like Tyreek Hill. Is there a chance these parameters are shrinking a little bit?
No, see, that's the thing is when we're looking at height and weight, those are not going to negate anybody. Height and weight, they do not negate anybody unless you get into the extremes. The extreme height at a really low weight, you can just mark him off the board.
Manute Bol.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to draft Manute Bol. But what we do is we break down the height and weight into the categories where we're seeing that success and we set those aside. Then we start looking at the actual athletic measurements. Great. And those are the ones where we can eliminate players. That's when we start eliminating. Now here it's funny that you mentioned those three because it really hurts the overall product of what I'm trying to put together when guys like Jaylen Waddle don't test, because I believe mm-hmm. Jaylen Waddle would have tested around the same as Ja'Marr Chase. Just as athletic as Ja'Marr Chase, in my opinion. Obviously a different position, but still, he's just an athletic phenomenon, but we didn't get his testing. He had that ankle. And then with Devontae Smith, I would be really interested to look at his numbers because I'm looking at production over a career, games played over a career, things like that. So I'm not going to look at just one season of data and say, okay, that's a success. We can move on. I'm not saying Devontae Smith's not that. I'm saying that I want to see more production over years and years and years. And if we could get all players to test, it would just be wonderful. Obviously we don't live in a vacuum, so it doesn't happen. So when we have guys like that, Najee Harris and different guys that can't test for us, and then they go on to the NFL and they produce these crazy numbers. Unfortunately, we have to look outside of those players what we're doing because we can't fit them into any of our categories here. So we do have to limit what we evaluate to what we actually have on hand.
Well, we don't have to limit you at all, Wes. We love having you on the show at Wes Huber NFL. You need to be following this guy. I used to talk all the time on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast about sickos or people that are sick or have the disease. You have it. Wes has it. Joe has it at FG_Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Very important. Everybody goes to get more of this kind of information to fantasypoints.com. Use the code 22feast. You will be very, very happy that you did. Outstanding stuff, Wes. I am stuffed. We're done.
Yeah, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mentioned DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.